We're proceeding with the disclosure initiative.
Thank you, Hans. So we have just the one paper and the one question for you this morning. So to talk about accounting policy disclosures, over to Siobhan.
Okay. So in its October 2018 meeting, the board discussed the content of guidance and examples for the materiality practice statement. At that meeting, the board tentatively decided to clarify that not all accounting policies relating to material transactions, other events or conditions are themselves material to the financial statements, and to continue developing guidance and examples to help entities better exercise judgment about whether the accounting policies they apply to material transactions, other events or conditions are themselves material. However, a few board members expressed concerns about the relationship between the concept of materiality and accounting policy disclosure. These concerns are described in paragraph 8 of the While the majority of the board voted in favour of the tentative decisions summarised in paragraph 7, we nevertheless think that it is helpful to address these concerns because they are fundamental to the approach being developed, and they also relate directly to the question of whether to make any amendments to the IAS 1 requirements about accounting policy disclosure. Consequently, in this paper, we have first considered how materiality can be applied to accounting policy disclosure, and then analysed two options for further developing the guidance and examples discussed in the October 2018 board meeting. Paragraphs 11 to 27 summarise the staff analysis about how materiality can be applied to accounting policy disclosure. These paragraphs respond to the specific concerns raised by a few board members. Paragraphs 28 to 30 summarise the staff analysis on defining the concept of significance. We do not recommend this approach for two reasons. Firstly, we think that it would not effectively address all of the concerns raised in the principles of disclosure discussion paper about the concept of significance. And secondly, we think there is a very high risk of unintended consequences. Paragraphs 31 to 38 summarise the staff analysis on replacing the concept of significance with the concept of materiality in paragraphs 117 to 124 of IAS 1. We think this approach will help entities to exercise better judgment over which accounting policies to disclose for the reasons described in paragraph 34. So our question for the board today is, does the board agree with the staff recommendation that the board should amend paragraphs 117 to 124 of IAS 1 to require entities to disclose their material accounting policies rather than their significant accounting policies as summarised in paragraph 35?
Anne?
Thank you. I agree with the staff recommendation. I continue to believe this is an important area of work based on the feedback that we got in the principles of disclosure discussion paper. So I appreciate what's been presented. I appreciate the way the staff have addressed the concerns that that were raised by other board members. And I understand board members have concerns about trying to do accounting policies via the materiality lens the way we're doing, but I continue to support that approach, and I think we need to keep on trying that. I don't think this is easy to do, what we're trying to do, but I continue to support it, and I would encourage you to keep on trying in that way. So I support that approach. I also agree with not trying to define significant. I believe that taking that on would not be easy for us, and I don't think it would necessarily get us to where we want to go. I would be concerned about unintended consequences that would flow out from this into other places, and you point out there are many places where the word significant is used. So I would be concerned, and I'm happy that we're not trying to do that.
Nick?
Thank you. I continue to worry that many users treat accounting policies as boilerplate, sometimes even if they're not, and they skip through this section of a set of financial statements. So I think it's important that we can bring more focus here, preparers. I support the direction in terms of using materiality for the reasons you set out in paragraph 36. So I support staff's proposal here.
Martin?
My name still do not agree. Because man, I think accounting policies for me is something a little bit different. Because man, I see it also, man, you have this example. If it is a material transaction, you don't have in all the cases to explain accounting policies. Yes, maybe. But I think it is a helpful kind of information. And we don't have all the kind of users are detailed knowledge of accounting policies. And if you have a company which maybe is a simple bank and applies only the simple things of IFRS 9, I think it would be good if in the context of financial statements there is an explanation of the main accounting policies this bank is using. Or for an insurance company, or for a simple retailer, how they is doing. Even if it is not a kind of using kind of policy choices, a kind of options, a kind of entity specific, I think it is a kind of financial statements are not only used by sophisticated users. A financial statements has to be approved by directors, which maybe don't have a detailed knowledge of accounting policies and about IFRS, and therefore I think it is something different. And therefore I think the concept of materiality, I agree that it maybe applies in the overall as a financial statement as a whole and including accounting policies, but we should not rename it now. Only material policies have to be explained and then have examples, okay, even if it's a material transaction, maybe it is 90% of transactions of a company, you don't have to explain it if it is a simple saying that in the, our books are saying. So I don't buy into this concept. And also, man, if maybe if users think it is boilerplate and maybe we have to come with a different solution, say, okay, if you have changes from last year, maybe have an executive summary of what has changed, but still then to have, I don't know, for many companies only have one page of accounting policies, I think is not appropriate. Before, either it's supportive, it is explanation, and is not in the same magnitude as primary financial statements or even significant or material notes. I think it is a little bit different, and therefore I don't buy that concept of material. And even if you rename that, when I thought your concept of, okay, materiality has to play a concept in the financial statements as a whole, I agree to that. But if you now rename significant to material policies, I think users or wearers will not using that in the overall context. They will think, is that simple, single accounting policy material? Yes or no? And they will come to a lot of circumstances where they say, no, it's not material, and don't bother with that. And I think that is not helpful. Therefore, I don't buy into this concept.
Gary?
Diametrically the opposite of Martin. I fully support the staff's recommendation. Our theme for the 5 years is better communication and financial reporting, which among, you know, some of the subtext is to simplify things. I mean, if you think of the word, is it material to know or is it significant to know? To me, they're both important and sort of equal. The paper in here implies, I think, that some people think significant is like super material. To me, I tend to think of it as something in between immaterial and material. I mean, if a material is something that's important to make it, important enough that it could reasonably make a difference, I don't know how much more you need to know. You can just see an academic debate. You know, you're on this significant means something different than material, and it's going back and forth. They mean the same practical thing, in my judgment. And I think if you want them to mean the same thing, is then they should use the same word, and I think material is the words we should use.
Can I ask you a question? If you think, okay, we have too much boilerplate, if you change that word, and if you think it is the same, why does it change then?
I do think we have too much boilerplate, but I think one of the ways to guarantee eternal life is to put something in the accounting policy footnote. I think practice is going to change, and I think it's only going to change very slowly, but I think we've got to encourage it to change. And I think if you're going to use the both words, I think we're going to have to define them in what ways are they different. Really do that in any way that would be meaningful to the average person out there.
Sue?
Firstly, I'd like to start by thanking the staff for this paper, because I think I was probably one of the reasons why they had to spend so much time painstakingly going through the concept of materiality, and so it helped me, and so I found it useful, so thank you for that. I support the staff's recommendations. I think it'll be really important to come up with some good examples when we get to the materiality practice statement to really illustrate what we mean, but I get your point. Having said all of that, I do sort of have a bit of a latent concern that we may not get disclosure of as many policies as what we might hope, anticipate maybe not, rather than hope for, anticipate using the cut, because I would still think it's quite a high hurdle for me, and maybe a smaller set of policies would be disclosed, strictly speaking, applying materiality, than I think might be necessary or useful for investors. But I support the proposal because it gives us a basis to go and test that. So I think my request, I guess, is that when we put this out for comment, that we really try and come up with a way to try and get a sense of how people think they might change from what they currently disclose to what they would disclose going forward, applying this new idea, so we get some sense of whether it's working the way that we anticipate that it would work. But I'm very happy to test it, and thanks for the increase in my understanding.
Doug?
Thank you. With respect to difference between significance and material, I had a very interesting conversation with my friend. According to him, he has an image of material. Materiality indicates the physical substance, because it's material. So it's suitable to indicate the quantifiable the importance. On the other hand, significance indicates something to bring intangible things to make it clear about the importance of intangible things, like a sign or a signature. So therefore, he thinks current paragraph 121 is very consistent with what he was thinking, because it says, 121 says, accounting policy may be significant because of the nature of the entity's operation, even if amounts for the current and the prior periods are not material. So the term material is suitable quantifiable importance, and the significance is more like nature oriented. So he is happy with 121, and not very much happy with the proposal. But having said that, I'm supporting your proposal.
Yeah, good.
And the reason is because the reason is because even though it's an accounting jargon, we want to clarify what the meaning of the material and the significant, and used differently. So maybe your proposal is more helpful. So I'm happy with the proposal. However, one question is paragraph 20. Paragraph 20 is the guidance you are going to bring after we change the term significant to material. Then, but in the paragraph 20, you still include the term significant. In the 20D relates to an area of a significant judgment. So are you going to change this to the material judgment?
That is a very fair question. To be clear, and perhaps in an error of judgment on our part, we were using significant in 20D in the English language sense, whereas the point of debate in this paper is almost, you know, what material means in terms of the definition, and what significant means in the equivalent context. So that use of significant there is not a use that is the equivalent to the defined term of material. So no, I don't think we change it to material, but we might consider less confusing articulation.
Tom?
I think I like that distinction, because if you go and look in the just regular walking down the street, they're pretty much synonyms. And so when we use a word, we can use it as a regular English-speaking person, or we can do something that's really accounting. And I really like the idea of using material, because we have a clear accounting definition for material, and significant we don't. And to me, when we don't, then I would expect to use it in the plain English. So I actually don't have that. Once we do all this, I don't have a problem with using significant as English. So I like that idea. I have just one kind of question, cautionary note. I think I'm kind of here, but we've we've made a big change from the old standard, in that we now have a sequential thing where the item has to be material before we look at the policy. The item could be material either by virtue of its size or by virtue of its nature,
yeah.
But it has to be material. And I think I'm okay with that, but I did want to highlight that when we drop 121, 121 did not say that at all. So I'm just going to what Tack just read. I'm going to substitute material for significant in 121. So an accounting policy may be material because of the nature of the entity's operations, even if amounts for current and prior periods are not material. So the old rule said that it is not sequential. These are not necessary conditions. It could still be material. And I think we're counting on those cases that somebody has to apply that nature to the item very carefully to protect against whatever that paragraph was doing. So I don't know if when we write this up, is there anything we can do? Because I don't want to lose that. I think these people were worried about nature. And it's important that people, when they do that necessary condition, apply nature. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about how that might be dealt with.
I think in terms of how 121 is currently worded, it's important that it describes it as the amounts for current and prior periods are not material, whereas our whole discussions on materiality have been very much about the, you know, things can be material other than by amount. So to this point, it's not something that we've been too concerned about in terms of the consequences, but we're happy to go into it in more detail if that makes
sense. So just a cautionary note that when we look at, well, you know, just that we don't lose material policies because somebody does a very narrow reading of material when they do the necessary condition, however you word it.
And I think one of the examples that we were contemplating for the materiality practice statement actually deals with exactly that issue, where the amount isn't material, but the policy itself is material.
Jen Chow.
Thank you. I support staff's proposal. I think staff analyzed the issues very clearly. I appreciate the paper. It convinced me that we should make an amendment. And especially currently, we have no definition of the significance, and we do have material definition of the materiality and the practice statement in place. So I think once we make this amendment, it can keep the disclosure principle of the accounting policies consistent with conceptual work, consistent with the practice statement, and also it helps us to provide guidance and examples with regard to the accounting policy disclosures. Otherwise, you know, there are no common basis in place because we're using different wording. So I think I fully support staff's recommendation.
Osraza.
Thank you. Well, I fully support the staff recommendation. I would like to make two other comments. The first one is that I really think that in the financial statements, we should find only the information that is not otherwise publicly available. And I also would like to highlight that we have in our conceptual framework a specific reference to knowledgeable users. So I don't think it's the role of the financial statements to educate whoever reads them. And but I agree that directors and whoever wants to invest in equities would be well advised to have some training and some education prior to exercising responsibilities or making decisions. But I don't think that's a reason why we should have that in the statement. And the third point I would like to make is that I agree that we move to material, so that basically we can rely for this element on the materiality practice statement, on all the developments that we've made lately. But I would caution against removing significant wherever we have it, because unless we go through a similar analysis
Or what is it? one item by one item, because to me, in a number, rightly or wrongly, when I read and understand IFRS, a significant carries in my reading, in my understanding, higher hurdle than material does. And I guess it's the same for a number of people. So I don't know whether we should do anything about it, but I would not want us to start changing anything that exists unless that goes beyond what we have already decided here, or about on the verge of deciding.
Mary?
I also support the staff's proposal. I think many people bring different readings to the two words, so it's not like I think one is right and one is wrong. I think, though, and this goes back to something Gary said, that if we want to get behavior change, we have to make a change, because we need to have a signal, a prompt, for people to reexamine things. So for that, I think almost more for that reason than anything else, I support the staff proposal, although that in no way undercuts what I think is very good paper, very good analysis, and I very much appreciate the staff, rather than saying, you know, we have the majority in the bag, let's move on, takes the time to go back and address the concerns, because I think it does help keep people on board with the project as we go forward. One thing that struck me, and this kind of echoes what Francoise was saying about not replacing every use of the word significant in IS1, for example, but, you know, just focusing on the section, is you have some but not all of the in Appendix A, where you have excerpted from IS1, you've included the paragraphs that deal with estimation. You've included one that deals with judgment, but not paragraph 125 and 4 that deals with estimates. And I think those paragraphs actually do a pretty good job of making the point that what we're trying to get to is a selection, not a complete set, of anything that might have a material effect. And perhaps in the basis rather than in the standard, if you feel it's, think about whether it would be appropriate to be emphasizing that, as we do with estimation uncertainty and significant judgments, which is the paragraph 122, that what we're trying to do is highlight the ones that are most important to users of financial statements, rather than a complete set that might, you know, somehow do that educational service that Francoise was referring to. I think these were just written a lot later than the original text, the significant accounting policy section of IS1, and it was much clearer what our objective was when those were, I mean, not ours literally, because it was written a while ago, but what the board's intention was then.
Anne?
Thanks, Hans. I just wanted to ask staff, in relation to the point that Francoise raised, it wasn't your intention to do a find and replace on the word significant, was it, in IAS1? Equally, you're not looking at significant, the use of the word, anywhere else besides IAS1, yeah? Okay, thank you.
Okay, who can support a staff's recommendation?
13.
Okay. No.
Significant 13. Victory.
Yes, 13.
I'm sorry, I thought you said 14.
All right, let's take our break for lunch and come back at 1 o'clock.